Creation time, or the season of creation, is marked from the 1st of September to the 4th of October each year. There is growing awareness and observation of this tradition as people sit up and take notice of the need to care for our common home amid the climate emergency we find ourselves living in. The season of creation also has a special significance for the Catholic Church, particularly since Pope Francis established the 1st of September as an annual World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. The season of creation is marked throughout the Christian world and celebrates the joy of creation as well as encouraging awareness-raising initiatives to protect the natural environment. We have created a series of podcasts for the season of creation this year, which will air on catholicbishops.ie and on our weekly Faithcast podcast over the coming weeks. Our first Creation Time podcast is with Father Dermot Lane, a theologian and priest of the Archdiocese of Dublin. Father Lane is also a member of the Laudato Si working group of the Bishops' Council for Catechetics. I met with Father Lane and I began by asking him if there is a theology underpinning care for our common home.
Well, certainly there is a very deep theology running through Laudato Si. The problem with it, however, that it's not a systematic theology, it's nuggets of theology. So, for example, there's a very good theology of the Spirit implicit throughout the document. And that's why it's so interesting that the encyclical calls for an ecological spirituality. And that's very significant. Not a Christian, not a Catholic spirit, but an ecological spirituality. And then it moves towards being Christian and Christ-centered. So at the level of a theology of the Spirit, or what we sometimes call pneumatology, there's a very rich theology. There's a very rich theology of the person of Christ at the center of creation. And we might call that the cosmic Christ. And equally, there is a very strong emphasis on the importance of the incarnation, that God is incarnate in our world, the whole of our world, the natural world as well as the supernatural world, and that therefore we need to have much greater respect for the integrity of the natural world, which we have neglected so much in the last couple of hundred years. Not always. Back in the Middle Ages, there was a great sense that the natural world was a sacrament of God. And going back behind that to somebody like Augustine, who talks about there are two books of Revelation. One is the book of the Bible, and the other is the book of nature. And Pope Francis, in his encyclical, says we need to pay far more attention to the book of nature, not to the neglect of the book of the Bible, but as two complementary books that should be read together in tandem.
It also strikes me that with Laudato Si, we are talking a lot more about care for creation. We've had the new initiative from Pope Francis of the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. Now, I spoke to a scientist the other day, and he said that scientists have been and climatologists have been talking about the problems that we're causing as humans to the Earth for years, and they've been writing papers about it, and maybe they haven't shared it enough with the general public until now. Is that the same with theologians? Have theologians been concerned by this issue for years, but maybe, again, like the scientists, haven't spoken as openly? And has it taken something like Laudato Si, as well as the what we're seeing happening in the world around us, to start to break open this for us?
That's quite a complicated question, because in the late 20th century, theologians were talking about climate change and the ecological crisis. But the publication of Laudato Si was a catalyst to bring together a great variety of voices, male and female, devoted to building bridges between nature and grace, between the world and God. And only when we can reintegrate those two relationships will we begin to really address the challenges of climate change. Now, there's a great dialogue, and this has been going on for the last 50 years, by the way, between theologians and scientists. There was a standoff for many centuries in the light of the Galileo affair and in the light of Darwin between religion and science. But after the Second Vatican Council, they came together. And now, instead of seeing them as conflictual or rivalry, they are seen as complementary. So, for example, John Paul II said that science can rid religion of error and superstition, and then went on to say that religion can rid science of idolatry. Now there's a conversation to take place. So we're not rivals, but we're complementary to each other and complementary outlook. They're two different entities. I don't want to confuse them or conflate them. They are distinct and different, but also complementary.
May I ask you about the work of the Laudato Si working group? Obviously, I'm aware of the group, but there seems to be an edge this year to the marking of the season of creation, or creation time as we would probably know it more. We'd be more familiar with that phrase in Ireland. Can you talk to me a little bit about the work of the Laudato Si working group in the context of creation time this year?
It has been part of the Christian calendar for many years now, for the last 10 years at least. But this year, for the first time, the Catholic Church and the Anglicans and the Orthodox and the World Council of Churches have signed up to a commitment to the season of creation, and that's new. Another edge to the season of creation this year is that we are now, as you know, living in an era of climate emergency. This was declared by the UK government, also by the Irish government, but also by Pope Francis. In addition to that, this year, we've had in the last month a variety of different reports about how serious the crisis is. We had the all-government climate action plan, two volumes of it, published about 3 weeks ago. We had a report from the Climate Change Council, Advisory Council, showing that we all need to change if we're going to address this. And most interestingly, we had a report entitled The Global Footprint. And that is a most interesting report because imagine for a moment that each one of us has an entitlement to Mother Earth. And it's a 12-month entitlement. It has now been discovered that we already have overstepped our entitlement to the Earth. And in the month of July, we have used up 1.75 of what we can extract and consume from the Earth. So that report is quite scary, really. You and I perhaps are not at fault for this, but the big industries are, and unbridled capitalism is a major player in this, and the continued existence of fossil fuels and the continued greenhouse emissions.
The Laudato Si Working Group have prepared some really practical resources this year, and the idea is that these would be taken and used by individuals, by schools, by parishes, by dioceses. Can you talk me through a little bit of what those resources are?
Yeah, very briefly, there are four different resources. One is dealing with Sundays throughout the 1st of September to the 4th of October. And there are resources including a penitential rite, prayers of the faithful, and a post-communion reflection taken from Laudato Si that might be spread throughout the celebration of Mass for the Sundays between the 1st of September and the 4th of October. In addition to that, there are also prayer services that could be used midweek, perhaps in the local school, perhaps ecumenically with the other churches in the area, or perhaps on a prayer service within the local church. That's the second one. The third one is a celebration of the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi on the 4th of October to conclude the resources. Now, in that regard, it's very important this year, and this is also new, that after the celebration of the season of creation this year, there is in Rome the Synod of Bishops dedicated to the Amazon, and the subtitle is New Pathways for the Church and Integral Ecology. So the season of creation will be a kind of a lead into the Synod of Bishops and will tune us into what's happening and the importance of that synod at the moment.
And those resources are available on catholicbishops.ie for anyone who wants to download them. I was very struck by some pieces of poetry that you offered at a Laudato Si working day that we had earlier this year under the auspices of the Council for Justice and Peace. And the way you were speaking about the theology of ecology, and you shared some wonderful pieces of poetry that dated back quite a few years. And it struck me that we seemed back then to have a much more intimate, much more respectful relationship with the planet and the natural world, that our forefathers had that more respectful relationship, and that maybe in looking forward into technological solutions to the climate emergency, we should also not forget the way our forefathers lived, the relationship that they had with the natural world as well.
There is a lot of very good poetry. We'd call them nature poets. And one of them that jumps to mind, of course, is Gert Manley Hopkins, who has that beautiful poem called The Grandeur of God, in which he begins by saying, "The universe is charged with the grandeur of God." And then goes on to say it has been smeared by heavy industry, and man is smeared with labor and so on. And then concludes, "And yet nature is never spent, because the Holy Ghost is bent, brooding over the universe." So it's very biblical, and it's very kind of connected. So you're right. We have treated nature poorly. We have treated nature largely as a machine, lifeless, inert reality. And that was the modern scientific outlook. But that has changed now because of the dialogue between religion and science. And we regard nature as alive, full of vitality and energy. And so we have to discover that. But the poem I love most of all is, let me give you the poem, then the name will come to me. "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes, while all the rest gather blackberries." Now that is based on Moses' encounter of Yahweh in the burning bush. "Earth is crowned with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only those who see will take off their shoes." Because when Moses encountered Yahweh on the mountain, he took off his shoes because he wanted to worship. And then the banality of saying, "All the rest gather blackberries." Now, I have nothing against blackberries, but there's more to life than gathering blackberries. And the author of that is Elizabeth Barrett Browning, going back to the late 19th century. So poets had a feel for the sacredness of nature and the sacramental character of nature, and that nature wasn't just a machine to be exploited, but was sacred in itself, and that it had its own, nature has its own integrity. And when we damage that, we damage ourselves.
That was Father Dermot Lane, our first guest on our Creation Time podcasts. Next week, we will hear about the science bit of climate change from Professor John Sweeney. Thank you for listening. And in the meantime, you can check out our resources for the season of creation on catholicbishops.ie.